active in the movement for D.C. statehood and was a member of the WPFW family. Arturo's organizing was a critical bridge between D.C.'s African-American and Latino communities. He has left an indelible mark on Washington, D.C., helping to shape the city we all share. May he rest in power and peace. Arturo Griffiths, Jr., presente.
I'm Candy Shannon, host of Morning Brew, the Friday edition, from 5 to 8 a.m. on member-supported WPFW Washington, 89.3 FM.
You know, nowadays, it seems like there's a lot of bad things going on, and I guess a lot of it, from the way I see it, seems to still stem from lack of feelings on our parts and how we relate or communicate with our fellow brothers and sisters. Hatred is a feeling, love is a feeling. Let's hate all that does not allow us to love. And we can do that just by getting to know each other and talking to the people. Who can you turn to tell your troubles? Tell them to. You can't go around wondering what it is you gotta do. You gotta be ready and willing to make a move. Nobody can push you if you don't wanna move. You suffer, cry, and hate, and live the American way. Fly the hateful skies of America. Fly the American way. Gotta talk to the people. Yeah, yeah. Tell
them
how you feel.
Tell them how you feel. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, fellas.
There he is. There he is.
There I are.
All right. Good morning, listeners. Welcome to the program, Community Watch and Comment Friday edition. I'm Ron Pinchback, along with Chip Jones. And operating the boards are my friend Mike. And this morning, just the footnote, I want to just say, you know, Arturo Griffith is a, you know, was a very, very valuable member of the PFW family. So, you know, you can get a chance to go out there to a ceremonies, you know, please do that. Arturo Griffiths Jr. Great guy. All right. Hey, Chip.
Yes.
Did you see the live broadcast of
Jimmy Kimmel's return?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I had to do a lot of finagling over the internet with my phone, and from that I shared it onto my TV. They didn't make it easy. They didn't make it easy in the DC area.
And for me, it was not at all. And that's going to be the topic of discussion this morning, because we're talking about corporate censorship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the corporations making decisions for you about what kind of content you want. And what would complicate the matter also is that if you are a subscriber to the network, then, you know, you want your full value.
Right.
You know? You want your full value. They didn't call you up and ask you, you know, to, is it okay if we do this? Now, the reason is that it's an important story because one of our own stations here in D.C. WJLA is, did not run that broadcast.
Right. Still not running, Kimmel.
Right. Exactly. But people are still paying their subscription for those channels. But the other thing, too, is that this is affecting over 66 stations around the country. And the two networks that, in particular, are, saying they will not air that content, anything from the criminal camp, I guess, until they decide. But once again, these are 66 stations all across the United States. Once again, it amounts to corporate censorship, because as a subscriber, those networks aren't free. You pay for that service. And that's what they learned about this whole Kimmel experience. Those Disney subscribers, put their money where their interests are.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd like to get your thoughts about this whole notion that the network can preempt programming without your consent, without your knowledge, in many cases. They'll notify you by email the night of or whatever. But we'd like to get your thoughts about that. You want what you pay for? Are you suggesting that people contact these media companies, that these cable companies and such, satellite companies, to protect your interests? All right, 202-588-0893. Corporate censorship coming to a TV near you. Okay.
Not coming to a TV.
How about that? I was kind of surprised that once this whole thing was all kerfuffle over Kimmel would die down, or whatever you want to call it, that would be the end of the story. He was reinstated. But now you got, two major networks out there who own the distribution rights to, ABC and, content, put up a wall saying they're not going to do that. That they're not going to reinstate the program. But for me, it's not so much about that program, but it's the notion that the networks can preempt programming and not air stuff that they don't like.
Yeah.
That you may like very much.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of conflicting problems here. But I mean, number one, first of all, is that the airwaves are our airwaves. I mean, we give them to these networks to broadcast on, but they don't own those airwaves. They are America's, the people's airwaves. What's more troubling is that that these networks, they're basically doing it for money. They're doing it because they're feeling pressure from the government, which is extremely problematic, constitutionally problematic. And I guess what we have to do as citizens is put on pressure from our side to make these networks stand up, to do what's right.
Apparently, the old subscription button works just works fine for Disney because, once again, it was only because of the financial pressure of the consumers, you know, that compelled Disney to, you know, alter its decision.
Right.
So, you know, keep hope alive, as they say. 202-588-0893. Corporate censorship. Is this something that you're concerned about? Something that you're aware of? Something that, you know, concerns you? Give us a call, 202-588-0893. I mean, suppose like the program Roots, for example, right. The series Roots. I mean, think about what we're going through right now with people trying to withdraw from the historical realities in our museums. And so, you know, who's to say, well, the Sinclair Network or whatever, we don't think that Roots was a good depiction of, you know, a positive African-American life. And there you have it, you know. It'll be buried in tapes and you'll never see it again.
Right.
202-588-0893.
I mean,
Go ahead, Chip.
I was going to say, you know, it's interesting that you brought up Roots, because Roots, when ABC ran that series, they were concerned that Southern affiliates would not run it because they had had that problem years before. You know, I'm a sci-fi buff, and I'm sure there are plenty of Star Trek fans out there that realize that one of the first yes. interracial kisses was yeah. in a Star Trek episode, which was not broadcast on many Southern stations. They refused to broadcast that show. So we've seen this before, where stations or affiliate stations have opted out of presenting what the main broadcast network had programmed.
All right, we got some callers. Let's see what they're talking about out here this morning. The discussion is about corporate censorship. You know, the corporations and corporate media is denying people access to programming that they signed up for and they paid for, you know, and they're doing it without their consent. And, you know, it's for politics. And that's strictly a political decision. Anyhow, we want to get your thoughts about that. You know, corporate censorship, it's dangerous. Is it something that we should take very, very seriously? All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You on WPFW.
Hi.
Good morning.
Is that me?
That's you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, okay. How's it going?
Good.
How you fellas doing?
Good.
All right.
All right. I just wanted to say that, I mean, we've been under corporate censorship. I mean, this isn't anything new.
Mm-hmm.
We, I mean, if you guys could recall, we just came out of COVID. And we were silenced, some of us, for just asking questions about the vaccine. You know, Google just reinstated or just, you know, announced that they would reinstate all accounts that they silenced during COVID. So we've mm-hmm. been under censorship, you know. I mean, it's really nothing new. And I think, you know, the fact that Kimball's show was canceled was kind of an eye-opener for a lot of us who wasn't really paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
But ask yourself, why was he silenced in the first place? Why was this show suspended? And it was practically because he lied. You know, he put out false information. I don't think it warranted a suspension, but that's the reason why he was taken off the air, for sure.
Well, what did he lie about that you think got him?
When he said that the kid was a MAGA kid, you know.
That's not what he said.
He said, well, yeah, he said, you know, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that is what he said. He said that, you know.
No, that's not what he said.
Okay, what did he say?
He said that the MAGA Republicans were trying to, were intent on trying to show that this kid was not with them. Now, he never said the kid was MAGA. He said that the push by MAGA was to try to make sure that this guy was not painted as being one of them. He never said whether the guy was left or right. His whole thing never talked about Charlie Kirk, number one. And number two, he never painted the kid as being MAGA. What he was talking about was the MAGA reaction to it.
Okay, we're going to move on because you have the opportunity now to look at the tape for yourself.
The video again, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you look at it and you know, do your research, okay? But yeah, things have changed, as they said. All right, 202-588-0893. Community watching comment. Corporate censorship. The power of corporations to, you know, not allow you to see programming that you have paid for. Okay, that I don't see no. Well, we're gonna give you a refund for those hours, you know, that you've missed, you know, and. But that's the reality right now with several networks, two networks in particular, you know, that have an affiliate here in D.C., WJLA. And so, you know, right now they're not rebroadcasting the Kimmel program. And so my question is, you know, whether it's the Kimmel program or something else, you know, I mean, should the networks have that kind of enjoy that kind of power, you know, to say, well, we're not going to do that. You know, we're not going to run this program because it don't fit in with our philosophy. All right, 202-580-0893. Good morning, caller.
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Good morning, caller.
Yes,
good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say that's going to show you how far white supremacy will go to embrace what it stands for. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They did this because this guy was going around. He was a white supremacist. Let's face it. That's what he was. You know? But people, the government will do to you whatever you let them, they can get away with. People will do to you whatever you let them do. I bet you if they said, we're going to stop broadcasting NFL games, the people will be at arms. It wouldn't last long. As long as you can let them have their television, their color TV, sit back and eat fried chicken and watch a game and drink beer. You can do whatever you want to of these people in America. That's how bad things are. These people in America are a joke. Mm-hmm. That's all I have.
All right, man. Thanks for making your comments. Yeah. 202-588-0893. Good morning, caller. You're on WPFW.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Right.
Yeah, here is the situation I would like you to address, and we have heard about it when Trump said there is a link risk of taking Tylenol when you're pregnant, for the women who are pregnant. That is a risk to the children. and there have been a lot of talk about it. Obama said something to the effect that there are no studies of that, or that they have continuously disproved any link when he's in the UK. Here is what the studies funded by NIH published even in the other papers, I think were published in 2019, and they state clearly that they found a link, a risk, high risk, for those mothers who took the Tylenol, and it's published, okay? The word they use, of course, is the acetaminophen, that is a drug within the Tylenol. Have you heard of that, the study?
Okay, sir. So, what do you, that's out there right now that, you know, this study, and I say this study because it's being contradicted in other studies, but we encourage you to continue your research, and anybody else out there who wants to know more about that, don't take our word for it. You know, the information is out there now, and you can read it and discern it, okay?
Can I say something? Just one more.
202-588-0893. Good morning. You on WPFW. Okay, thank you, man. Yeah, the all kinds of new guidelines are coming out. You know, you parents out there need to, you know, be cognizant of new vaccine protocols. Those who deal with the elderly, you know, have to be aware of those things. And see, that's the power of television. You know, that's the power of media to disseminate that kind of information. And why it's important that it not be, you know, attached to a political agenda, but to a health agenda. You know,
right?
Well, you know, but that's the danger once again of censorship, corporate censorship, and, you know, in the media. 202-588-0893. Give us a call. Share your thoughts about this. I'm not going to call it a recent phenomenon because it's been going on for years. But now the consequences, you know, are so much greater. You know, a whole hodgepodge of misinformation is going on out there. And, you know, unfortunately, media like TV and cable and such, you know, they disseminate, you know, a lot of that information.
Right.
You go to a truck stop, you know, and, you know, they're blasting whatever network, you know, works for them in the culture that they're, you know, involved in. And so, you know, you're not going to see the HUR at a truck stop, you know. So, those are the things, you know, the power of the corporate media is just, you know, it's not a recent phenomenon, but now it's becoming more acute. You know, people, you know, they try to merge with each other. And so, you know, they're not trying to, you know,
ruffle feathers.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Don't want to bite the hand that they need to feed them, you know. So, but that's what we are, guys. Okay, you know. And in regards to that, what do you care about? I mean, what is it that, you know, what how does this pose a danger to you as a citizen? You know, what do you care about in that regard? You know, share your thoughts here on WPFW's Community Watch and comment. You know, Chip, you know, when I ask that question about what do you care about, you know, because sometimes folks say, well, I don't care about that. But it's affecting their lives.
I mean, I think that, right. And it sometimes it's affecting their lives without knowing it. I mean, the insidious problem about censorship is that it lessens the available facts for you to make, you know, a correct decision. You know, that's the thing, is that if anything, we want more information, sometimes even if it, you know, seems to be erroneous, but we need to have as wide a field of information so that we can come to a better decision, you know? When your field of view is hampered, then you're going to be making a narrow decision, and that's not the way a democracy or, you know, any country should be run, you know?
Well, you know, it can also be approached as a consumer issue because, you know, right now, these networks all have subscriptions. You know, that's the new phenomenon, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember the good old days, you can turn on Channel 9 and get a football game, okay? That's not going to happen nowadays.
Right. Got to pay.
You got to plan, you know, to see what network is going to make that game available if you're interested in seeing it. And so, and of course, you know, everything's paid for. You know, everything has to be paid for now. So, you know, the subscription model is here, and it's making it difficult for people to make choices. I mean, you know, people can't afford, you know, all that media,
mm-hmm.
You know. Anyhow, let's find what the people are thinking. 202-580-8893. Good morning. You're on WPFW.
Good morning. And thank
Hello.
You for taking my call. Hey. So I have a couple of comments regarding this. First of all, it's not corporations or businesses, and all they care about is the bottom line. What's different about this presidency is Donald J. Trump is fleecing these corporations. So CBS has paid out, ABC had to pay out, and George Stephanopoulos had to pay out as well.
Right.
$1 million, I believe. So in terms of, like, with Jimmy Kimmel, just like you schooled that young man that said, I always go back to the source because I wanted to hear exactly what Jimmy Kimmel said. He didn't
right.
say anything about the victim. He told everything, and then he played clips of Trump himself. The question that was asked of Trump was, well, how are you faring under this? And Trump proceeds to say, to talk about his ballroom and the ballroom
right.
building. And so, hence, like, you wouldn't get why Jimmy Kimmel said, the fourth stage of grief was construction.
Construction, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you don't, you know. So I have mixed emotions about this. I felt like Jimmy Kimmel learned a lesson, because he didn't say anything wrong. But I was kind of upset, not upset, but the support that he got. There are 300,000 plus black women who have lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, there's a lot of pain. And I'm glad that Jennifer Aniston and others, you know, came to Jimmy Kimmel's defense, as well as Ted Cruz, for that matter. But do you understand what I'm saying? It's
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, to be honest with you, I understand it. I also, being a stand-up comic, he got the bump that you entertainers get from other entertainers. I mean, that's why you had a lot of these people coming out, because they saw themselves in that same position as purveyors of artistic endeavors that they could immediately be silenced. I mean, that's why you had so many artists come out when Trump took over the Kennedy Center. You know, in a way, it was a self-interest, but it also showed a light of something that was bigger. You know, the free speech. You know, so but I do agree with you that there should have been more. There should have been more reaction. You know, like when what's her name, Atelier was let go from the Washington Post. You know, in fact, on my social media, I did the same thing about how, you know, how Kimmel gets the bump, but she doesn't, when all she's doing is quoting what Kirk had said. And at the same time, a Fox News guy goes on air and says, you know, we should kill all the homeless, mentally ill people. He didn't have a bump, a single bump a day. You know, no one talked about taking his job, you know.
Right. Was he taken off the air? I mean, that was horrible. And then there
he wasn't taken off a single day. He just played right through.
Listen, unfortunately, guys, hypocrisy in all caps is the order of the day. You know, nose ranting and raving, you know, kicking people off the air and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, like I said, the hypocrisy is in the day and night. Okay, well, listen, I think we got another caller, so we're going to go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW.
Good morning. Is that me?
That's you.
Good morning, Ron. Good morning, Chip. This is all a part of social engineering to get us to bend to the will of those that are so-called running the show. Right. People may not know, but every documentary and every movie that's shown on about the FBI has to be run by the FBI first for approval to be put on TV or wherever it is, social media. So this, as someone said before, this is nothing new. And as Gil Scott-Heron would say, the inmates are running their asylum. Y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Gil Scott-Heron. The revolution will not be televised. All right, 202-588-0893. This morning, we're getting your thoughts about corporate censorship. Right now, there are over 66 stations across the U.S. that are not carrying the revised Jimmy Kimmel content. There's an affiliate here, NBC, that's not running that content also. And so the question is, right, I mean, do you approve of that as a consumer, you know, as a citizen, you know, that the network should have that kind of juice to, you know, well, we don't want to run this, so we're not going to run it. So, you know, now if they want to give you a refund for your service, you know, then that's another whole matter. But that's not, they're not going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they're losing money now, you know. So the last thing they're going to utter out of their lips is, you know, well, we'll give those people affected a refund. You know, somebody take all business. 202-588-0893. Corporate censorship. You know, denying you the opportunity to know stuff that you already know. Give us a call, share your thoughts. I'm ready to watch and comment here on WPFW 89.3 FM. Jazz and justice in the nation's capital.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other callers had mentioned the vindictiveness
Yes.
You know, of
this administration. You know,
of how, implementing its right. goals, you know, on a variety of levels.
Yeah.
And as
I said before, we've never been in this situation, at least, you know, in the modern day, where we have somebody who is the leader of our country, who is not only thin-skinned, but is vehemently retaliatory, you know? And everything is about him, you know, this whole thing with the UN, you know, and MAGA crew started whipping up how the UN, you know, off of Trump's speech, how the UN had done him wrong, you know, that they sabotaged the escalator, they sabotaged the teleprompter. And, you know, then the story comes up, and what happened was his own videographer was the one who tripped the safety mechanism to stop the escalator. He brought his own teleprompter and teleprompter people, so that was his equipment, you know. So he's always about blame, you know, and we have never seen this before. I don't think, at least I can't remember.
No, not to this level. And whatever existed before, right now is on steroids because of mass media. You know, because of, you know, the laptops and cell phones and, you know, everything is out there now. Everything. Okay.
But I just think of all the stuff that was said about Obama and Michelle Obama, and never did we see any kind of retaliation. And it's like, you know, I have been saddened because I started watching West Wing again, like last week, which I do every few years. And I'm just like, oh, how I would give anything to have a president like
a fictional character.
Yeah, like a fictional character, you know. So, and a president who was intelligent, you know, who had empathy. You know, and
I think,
like,
we have that now, man. <It's> like, you know. All right. 202-580-8893. Okay. Corporate death censorship. You know, should they be allowed to preempt your programming that you pay for and that you set up a subscription for? You know, because of the owners, you know, political views. That's what it amounts to. You know, the owners, you know, of these networks, you know, don't want this kind of content to be out there. So they're going to jump at the first opportunity to curtail it. So, but what does that mean for consumers? You know, what does that mean for the citizens? You know, the right to know, the right to get what you pay for.
Right.
You know? 202-580-8893. Yeah, there's been some very, very interesting happenings, you know, over the past over the past week. You know, the whole Kimmel fiasco. You know, it gave some insight into the consumer power of of citizens,
right?
Yeah. I mean, that's usually, you know, money talks, the rest, you know, walks, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much power, I mean, we have dealing against the government, because the last leg of this thing, you know, had to do with the people that are licensed for the over the air, you know, we would have to as consumers of the political system to apply pressure to our representatives to make you know, those people broadcast Kimmel. And here again, that's problematic because our representatives right now aren't representing us. You know, those people are working for this one guy. And in fact, that's why we're in this, is because this one guy was upset about how he's being presented, and he's using the force of government to pressure these networks.
And you have a government right now that's let's say interested in anything that will what's the word? Stop the erosion of number one's support.
Right. And I mean, it's also it's also troubling with this because I can see that there have been. There have been government pressure to keep things silent in the past, but it's always been, you know, it's always been limited by by the fact that they didn't want you to know, you know, that they didn't want to be exposed for doing this kind of stuff. But what we've seen with Carr, head of the FCC, he openly threatened these networks, you know. So we're in a situation where those who are supposed to represent us aren't going to do so, and they make no bones about it. You know, they proclaim it. Yeah, so it's like, you know, you can't, like I said, you can't shame the shameless.
Good morning, Carla. Welcome to the show.
Is that me?
That's you.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. First of all, I'd like to express a disclaimer for myself that I am absolutely extricating
politics. Morning, Carla. You on WPF?
Hello?
Nope. Well, oh, I think Ron may be having a problem. He's there.
I'm still here.
Yeah, you're still here. Go ahead, caller. I think it's yeah, on Ron's side. He's working on it.
All right. Yeah, I'd like to invoke a disclaimer. And actually, this question, I guess parenthetically, is directed to Chip because he's a stand-up comic himself.
Yes,
and I would, again, begin
ahead,
by saying I'm extricating all of my political agenda, any of that. We're looking at this strictly a forensic way. In terms of Jimmy Kimmel's retort and the content therefrom, he mentioned and invoked the memory of such previous comedians as Lenny Bruce, George Carlin, and of course, you know, Robert Klein. You could go on down the list.
Right.
And I would think that looking back that far, mid-50s, mid-60s, mid-70s, and on up through the decades, that in the climate of, well, repression was certainly present back in those days, but how do you, Chip, as a stand-up comedian yourself, look at the retort by Jimmy Kimmel to invoke freedom of speech minus the politics? I think that he may have stepped on a third rail here, the wrong crack in the sidewalk, but outside of that, we're a less progressive country in terms of entertainment than we were back then, and squarely by means of not just intimate clubs, but because of the profusion of electronic and digital media nowadays. So much of what you say is going to be out there right, as opposed to, but you know, back in the day. So what's your take on where we are with regard to First Amendment, man, you know?
Well, here's the thing. First Amendment isn't isn't free speech, isn't really about free speech everywhere, anything you want to say. First Amendment is designed to keep you safe from governmental crackdown. But it doesn't stop you from getting fired from a job. It doesn't stop you from losing audience members. I think what we are in a weird situation now is that people are allowed to say whatever they want, how heinous or unseemly, and it's still allowed, but they get away with it if they're in front of their own audience. Where the clapback comes is when you're doing it outside of your own audience, and that's what we're starting to see more and more now, is that almost everybody is becoming a niche comedian, except for the big boys who are actively working just to sort of tone a bit of their stuff down for a broader audience. And that's where money, you know, that's where money has muddied the water. You know, that comedians now who are going to make money and be in movies and stuff, they're going to whitewash what they say. I mean, even comedians who used to go hard, like Kevin Hart. I mean, when he got smacked, you know, for jokes he had done 20 years earlier from doing the Academy Awards, hosting the Academy Awards. His comedian now has become more generic, has become softer. And I don't know how you... reconcile that.
Is it the place of the comedian to make political statements or to propose or profess an agenda outside of just being entertaining? That's where the line is.
For most comedians, that's the sweet spot. I mean, we want to be the court jester who holds the mirror to the king and says, look, you got no clothes on, but we want to do it in a way that doesn't get our head chopped off, you know? And now that threading that needle has become much more difficult.
It's become more difficult because of the financial constraints, you know. But these are the same financial constraints that people like Dick Gregory had, you know, at the infancy of this comedian, you know.
Excellent example.
Yeah. He struggled with that. You know, do I want to make money, or do I want to inform people? Yeah. He knew what he had to do, so he did it.
Yeah, but
it wasn't always easy.
In Dick Gregory's time, he could go hard in a Playboy club in Chicago, and get the laughs, and wow the audience, and he didn't have to worry about an hour later on Twitter somebody ranting and raving about. You know,
right. That's a whole new world,
presenting it in a skewed vision to whip up a bunch of people. So the eye of that needle has become a lot harder to thread.
Is toning down comedic content also in the process dumbing down the American public, or is it the place of the comedian to educate, enlighten, and edify his audience or her audience?
Yeah, you know? I think it tones down and dumbifies the conversation. That's the whole thing. I mean, you want to be someone who can bring the funny, but also, you know, sparks the thought, you know? I laughed at this joke, you know. I don't know if I really agree with that comedian, but it gets you to start thinking differently, you know. It your mind starts to embrace, you know, even if you don't agree with it, you embrace it enough to even think about it, and I think that can't help but make us better people. That we can have empathy, we can understand, you can have two conflicting thoughts at the same time, and we can converse. But, you know, if you shut it down, especially with violence, we don't move forward. We're mouse on a wheel, just in the same place over and over again.
If you're talking to a man...
All right. Hey, listen, thanks for your conversation this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much.
202-588-0893. You're in tune to 89.3 FM, WPFW. You know, it's an interesting, you know, dilemma.
Yeah.
You know, for comedians, because, you know, you get just like ICE agents are jumping up out of corners and crevices to snag, illegal workers.
Right.
You know, these guys are so, determined to enforce their agenda.
Right.
It's a wonder they don't sit out in the audience of a comedy performance to see if they say anything bad about yours truly. Right. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, you know, I said I've been watching West Wing again, which is an excellent show. One of the episodes deals with this kind of talk. You know, it's a comedian who was, you know, tapped to host the Mark Twain Awards, which the president attends. And the White House goes to him, and they ask him not to accept the host position because of a joke that he did years ago. And he's like, but, you know, he goes, you know, I campaigned for you guys. I raised money for you guys. And they're like, yeah, but, you know, it seemed unseemly, you know, and, you know, we can't have this right now. And he turns to the woman who's talking to him and he says, but, you know, at the core of this, the problem I have with it is that it's not like, you know, what I said was evil or anything like that. And the president laughed at the joke, you know. And the fact that the president laughed at the joke, that it was funny, that, you know, it was something that got him away from what he normally would think and react to. And that's where we should be. We should be a country that can embrace things that conflict. We can discuss them, but we're not. Everything is reactionary. Everything is at level 10. You know, if you're not with me, you're a villain. And that's something that I think that this president has brought to America, you know, and brought to his party in particular. It's always about him, you know. He is the savior. And we got to get back
fiction,
to us.
Fiction.
We got to get back fiction. To us. We got to get back to we, the people.
Well, you know, that's it, though, man. And, you know, the truths that we see on TV. Let's just take, you know, police activity on TV. Okay, busting down doors. You know, breaking the rules.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, Dirty Harry blowing somebody away or something. You know, it's like. It's a never-ending barrage, you know, of violence, you know, and, you know, we've just come to accept it right. So easily, you know, so easily. And,
yeah,
and now we accept it as part of our culture. Oh, that we're just being Americans.
We
that's just who we are. You know?
I just saw a video of a Texas ICE patrol that was looking for a particular person that they couldn't get. So what they did is they grabbed his daughter off of the school bus when she was coming home for school and held her basically as a hostage to coerce this father to come out and give himself to ICE. And I'm like, really? Is that where we're at? Where federal officers are holding a child, an elementary school child, hostage to arrest her father. I mean, we have gone so off track.
Off track. Well, listen, folks, thank you for listening to WPFW. You know, we'll try to bring these stories to you so that you can make your own comments about them. We encourage you to talk with others, you know, about what you've seen, heard, or know. Seems like there's a lot of because that is the only way we'll get better.
Right.
I guess from the way I see it. That's the only way we'll get better. All right, Chip, we'll be back with you next week.
Next week.
Mike, thank you very much.
Fellow brothers and sisters. Have a great
out there, thank you very much.
And thank you all the callers. Good call.
Is a feeling. Love is a feeling. Indeed. Talk to y'all next week.
That does not allow us to love.
And we can do that. Ronald Hampton, convener of IBW's Police Justice and Accountability Task Force. Are you sick and tired of Trump's occupation of Washington, D.C. and other chocolate cities around the country? IBW is convening an emergency summit to address this urgent issue. Saturday, September the 27th, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, sharp at the historic New York Avenue Presbyterian Church, 1313 New York Avenue Northwest in Washington, D.C. Speakers include Dr. Julian Malveaux, Sonia Pruitt, Kimon Freeman, Denise Rolock Barnes, and more. That's Saturday, September the 27th, 1 p.m. sharp at the historic New York Avenue Presbyterian Church. Doors open at 12:30 p.m. Details at ibw21.org.
Appeal Incorporated presents its 8th Annual Founders Day Celebration with dinner and a show on Sunday, September 28th at 4 p.m. featuring Sahel, Anna Mulago, Bamani Armah, Kaba Soul Singer, and DJ One Love at the Thurgood Marshall Center, 1816 12th Street Northwest. Details, including how to join virtually, at appealinc.org or 800-711-7851.
Part 2 of the 2025 Home Rule Music Festival is Saturday, October 4th at the Aletha Tanner Park in Effington. The celebration continues with a day of music and culture featuring Junkyard Band, Brandon Woody, plus performances showcasing Latin rhythms and African beats. The festival also brings together live DJ sets, record fair, vendors, community activities for all ages. Details at homerulemusicfestival.com.
Are you in the process of writing or updating your will, trust, or estate plan? We invite you to consider adding WPFW as a beneficiary through a charitable bequest. Bequests can take many forms and are usually the largest and most impactful gift a donor will ever make. Your bequest will help to ensure the programming WPFW has provided for almost 50 years will continue into the future. More info available by email at plannedgiving@wpfw.org or by phone at 202-588-0999, extension 344. Or you can let us know you've already included PFW in your plans through those same channels so we can add your name to our growing list of legacy listeners. We are listener supported. We are Jazz and Justice. And because of your support, we are WPFW.
The Birchmere presents The Robert Cray Band, September 24th. Arturo Sandoval, September 28th. And The Whispers on October 10th and 11th. Details at thebirchmere.com.
What's it do if you're approached by the police?
We deserve to be safe in our neighborhoods.
Follow these tips to assert your rights.
If you're being stopped, detained, or arrested, the best thing to say is nothing.
Stick to only these questions. Am I free to go? If stopped by law enforcement, try to leave the conversation as quickly and safely as possible.
Ask, am I free to go?
If yes, walk away calmly and quietly. Running away could give them pretext to detain you. Officers may try an incited reaction. Ignore them. Knowing your rights is a great first step.
And asserting your rights is even better.
United Workers of Washington, D.C., together with other organizations and friends, invite the community to celebrate the life and legacy of Arturo Griffiths, Jr. this Friday, September 26th at All Souls Church, 1500 Harvard Street Northwest, with the service at 3,